fifth case of the morning is United States against Kelly. Ms. Giacchetti.
Good morning. My name is Cynthia Giacchetti. I represent the defendant appellant, Demillis Kelly. The appeal raises one issue. It relates to the interruption of a guilty plea that took place in this matter. Although the defendant doesn't have an absolute right to plead guilty, the law is clear that a defendant's entitled to plead guilty unless the court can articulate a sound reason for rejecting the plea. In this particular case, no sound reason, no reason at all was given. What happened, and I think the transcript is relatively clear about that, is in the middle of the beginning of the plea, actually the plea had started the day before with some preliminary questions. The plea agreement was altered over the evening. The next day morning they came in, they started, the judge recollected the questions for the day before, started talking to the defendant, asked the defendant if he had read a particular count. He said no. The court then said, do you think you've had enough time to talk to your lawyer? No. Would you like to talk to him in the lockup? They went to the lockup, and she said, I'm going to do my morning call. There was no indication at that point that the plea was over, that the defendant had done anything that would have made the court reject the plea. As a matter of fact, it's kind of, you open, get to the next page, and all of a sudden the jury is out. And the trial is in progress, and at one point where when an objection comes up, the defense lawyer is kind of saying, could we go back to that conversation, obviously because the jury's there. The judge, he then asks the judge, can't the defendant plead guilty? And the only answer she gives is, it's not just a matter of pleading guilty, Mr. Green. I don't know what that meant, but if this, the defendant had not, as the government claims, said he didn't want to plead guilty, had not rejected the factual basis, he had done what he had been told initially he could do, talk to the lawyer, which he had been invited to do, and in a sense, after he talks to his lawyer, the whole thing falls apart for no reason on the record. At the time of sentencing, the issue came up in relationship to something else, and the judge said unequivocally, that defendant looked me in the face and said, no, I don't want to plead guilty. The judge did not accurately recollect this transcript, and so that cannot be the reason, and it cannot be a basis for rejecting the plea.
Let me ask you something. Do you agree with the government that even if Judge Conlon had accepted the plea, that Mr. Kelly would not have gotten the two-level reduction for acceptance of responsibility because the trial was nearly over by the time he attempted to change his plea?
No, although it would be more difficult probably because of the timing. All the cases I'm aware of say basically that. It's more difficult, but it can be done. And I am not aware of any case law that would preclude him from raising that issue.
See, what I'm trying to figure out in my own mind is whether or not it would have made a difference vis-a-vis the sentencing guidelines. In other words, if she would not have accepted the 2 points.
Well, I believe that the issue would have been open to argue at sentencing for the 2 points. And then we're kind of speculating. I know the government, and frankly, this is one of the reasons I've actually asked for a remand to another judge. I think there's certainly indications the judge has made up her mind here, particularly given her comments at sentencing. But there's certainly, as far as I know, no bar, though is it more difficult? It will certainly be more difficult. One of the things that is in Mr. Kelly's favor is he actually did confess when he was arrested. So there's a high, which is one of the things that's taken into consideration. And so he has a little bit more going in. But certainly given the massive swing on the guideline where he is, even 2 points where he is makes a difference of between 2 to 5 years. on this sentence, it certainly is a significant prejudice to him, and he would, I believe, have the opportunity to argue that issue and present it to the court, and hopefully a court that maybe didn't quite have the emotional response or whatever the response was to this defendant, or had already had the history to take a fresh look at it, would consider it and make a difference here. And that would be our request as the remedy to this. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Bindi.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. David Bindi for the United States. Your Honors, when a criminal defendant steps up in court on five separate occasions to enter a guilty plea and five times causes the Rule 11 colloquy to be aborted, it is not an abuse of discretion to refuse him a sixth shot at it.
Isn't it really four previous occasions on which, you know, the plea process was aborted because of his reluctance?
Well,
and didn't Judge Conlon really invite the final plea attempt by suggesting that it might be less problematic for Mr. Kelly to plead to the distribution count?
Well, there were the two attempts pretrial where all he said was no in response to the question, is it your intent to change your plea? The third one, is, by my count anyway, is on the morning of trial, the morning of the first day of trial after opening statements. I think those are three independent ones. And the fourth one was at the end of the day, the first day of trial. Judge Conlon did suggest that perhaps a plea to the substantive counts rather than the conspiracy count would clear up the problem. Then you get to the next day, and I count that as a fifth try.
Yeah, but the only objection that he voiced at that time was that he had not yet had sufficient time to consult his attorney.
I don't think you can take that literally, Judge, because this is a very simple case. it's not a factually complex case. There are two drug deliveries to an undercover officer on videotape. The co-defendant cooperated and testified, and the defendant had confessed after arrest. He'd been talking to his lawyer, who had vigorously been pursuing the option of having his client plead guilty for at least 2 weeks.
But so far, the record seems to reveal, to me at any rate, there was the break, and he did consult further with Mr. Green for whatever reason. Then Judge Conlon refuses to continue with the plea hearing, notwithstanding Mr. Green's assurances that Mr. Kelly was ready to plead guilty.
Well, again, Mr. Green had assured Judge Conlon several times previously that his client was ready to plead guilty, and it didn't happen. And I think the judge's comment at that point in the trial that it's not just a matter of pleading guilty is clarified by her comment at sentencing. What she said at sentencing was that it appeared to me that the defendant did not want to plead guilty. She made that evaluation in the context of having observed the defendant's demeanor and his attitude and having him there in the courtroom. And I think that it is an observation that is entitled to deference here on appeal.
But I think she was willing to entertain the final plea attempt. She literally invited it and then went away and came back and just when it appears that he really is going to plead guilty, she abruptly decides not to hear the plea. And you've got a guy here who's convicted on an additional count, a conspiracy count, by virtue of his not being permitted to plead. And if we think she erred, that additional conviction can't be viewed as harmless error, it seems to me.
Well, two things, Your Honor. First, as I said, it appeared to Judge Conlon, and she stated this very clearly on the record, that the defendant did not want to plead guilty. That was based in part, that finding or that conclusion was based in part on her observation of his demeanor. She mentions that at the sentencing hearing. And it is also confirmed by the defendant's own lawyer, who told Judge Conlon, my client does not want to go to trial, but he does not want to plead guilty either. He is in denial about the whole thing. I think when you have that record, it's not an abuse of discretion for Judge Conlon to continue with the trial, which is almost over anyway. And we would also argue, as we have in our brief, that it would have been clear error under these circumstances, even if the last attempt had resulted in a guilty plea, it would have been clear error for Judge Conlon to grant this defendant the reduction for acceptance of responsibility. He did not accept responsibility. He specifically refused to accept the factual basis for the conspiracy count on which the jury in this case found him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. It also would have been clear error.
Was there an enhancement for frivolous denial of relevant conduct?
I don't think that's an enhancement, Your Honor. I don't think that would count as obstruction of justice, but it would certainly disqualify him for acceptance of responsibility. Falsely denying relevant conduct is the antithesis of acceptance of responsibility, as this court has said many times. You also have the fact here that the defendant, by the time the last effort was made, had already put the government to its proof. The trial was over. There was nothing left but closing argument. So we submit, Your Honors, that under the circumstances of this case, it was not an abuse of discretion, and that is the standard here. It was not an abuse of discretion for Judge Conlon to finish the trial rather than take a plea or try to take a plea from a defendant who his own lawyer said didn't want to plead guilty or didn't want to go to trial but didn't want to plead guilty either and was in denial about the whole thing. We respectfully request that the judgment be affirmed. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Bindi. Anything further, Ms. Cicchetti?
Yes. We can't predict what the defendant's version of the offense is going to be for purposes of pre-sentence report, especially in light of the fact that he did make a full confession and confessed to other things. So it's impossible to say he couldn't get acceptance of responsibility because he wasn't accepting relevant conduct. We didn't get there. The defendant has a right to present a version of the offense in a PSR that the judge then reviews to see what is the extent of the admission. We didn't even get there, so we can't preclude him on something we don't even know. The judge at sentencing did not say, well, he just didn't look. She said, he unequivocally said no to me. He didn't want to plead, and that just is not an accurate recollection. As to the prior occasions, the morning, he had actually said to her, no, I do believe I want to plead guilty. She said, I will address it at night. At night, she didn't do anything to stop the plea. It was the judge who suggested the plea might be easier to take to the other two counts. And so it isn't. The idea that he had rejected it the morning before or the night before is not consistent with the transcript. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And we thank you, Mr. Ketty, for your willingness to accept the appointment in this case and the assistance you've been both to your client and to the court. The case is taken under advisement.